Morning. Our scripture reading today, for those of you who want to follow along in the Pew Bible, is on page 1381. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning what you wrote about the gifts from the Holy Spirit, I want you to know the truth about them, my friends. You know that while you were still heathen, you were led astray in many ways to the worship of lifeless idols. I want you to know that no one who is led by God's Spirit can say, "A curse on Jesus," and no one can confess Jesus as Lord without being guided by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of service, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person, the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person, he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another, the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another, the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person, he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another, he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this as he wishes. He gives a different gift to each person.
Today's sermon is an isolated sermon, if you will. Normally, I do a book study or a theme study, and it goes on for multiple weeks. But having finished 1 Peter, and next Sunday being Youth Sunday, being on vacation last week, it presented an opportunity for me to do a sermon in isolation. And so this sermon stands on its own. It will not be a series. When I preach 2 weeks from today, we'll begin the book of 2 Peter and go back to how I normally preach. But there's been a theme that's been on my heart, and this seemed like the opportunity to speak it. It seems like everything coincided well as God has worked things. And so the sermon this morning is entitled Working Together. Working together. The theme of working together is dominant in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you read the opening chapter of the book, it talks about spiritual gifting and that God has gifted each one of us, and that the design and desire of God is that we work in harmony and in unison as one body on this earth for the glory of God. And you'll recall that Jesus, before he was crucified, his final high priestly prayer included the unity of the church, that we might be one, was how Jesus worded it. And so this morning I wanted to talk about working together in unity and opportunity within the church. I think some of the mistakes that we've made historically is that clergy has become professional, and the laity has viewed the clergy as the professionals, and we just come to church, we give our tithes and our offerings, and you're the preacher, you do the church stuff, we come and listen, give our tithes and offerings, and that's how we do church. And through the centuries, 2,000 years, that has developed and been a pretty dominant theme within the church. The clergy's liked it because they're viewed as professional, and they have some esteem, or at least historically have had esteem in the community. And the laity has liked it because we don't have to do anything. They're going to do it all. So there has been this mutual dysfunction of wanting to be seen as a professional and left alone. Because after all, we only work 1 hour a week and we get to go play pinball and go to Maine and horse around the rest of the time and just come back Sunday morning for an hour, right? So the clergy likes being left alone and viewed as professional with esteem. The congregation is comfortable to come and give their tithes and offerings and not be asked to do anything except that, And so this mutually dysfunctional codependence exists in the church and everybody's happy. Well, that's not the way the church is designed at all. It wasn't the heart of God. And 1 Corinthians is a book that addresses that God has gifted everyone. That everyone has a spiritual gifting and a role and responsibility in the church at large, perhaps not inside these four walls, but in the church at large, a gifting and a responsibility to serve the kingdom of God. The driving metaphor of Jesus was the kingdom of God. And a kingdom has a king, and a king rules, and a kingdom has citizens who are stewards of the resources of the kingdom. And so the driving metaphor of Jesus in his parables is that I am king, and that you are stewards entrusted with the resources of the kingdom. How are you doing? What is your role and responsibility within my kingdom? How are you fulfilling your role and responsibility? So you have the stewards given one talent, two talents, 10 talents, five talents, and giving account of life back to the king on how they are investing the resources that's been entrusted to them. Again, historically, we've become comfortable with viewing that as money, that we all have a different amount of money, and therefore we give different amounts to the church, and therefore we're judged on that, and that is not the case at all. That's not what that metaphor is about. It's about the gifts and the abilities that God has entrusted to you, and for the church as a place to recognize, grow, and develop those God-given gifts in society at large for the glory of the kingdom of God. And so in your bulletin this morning, which I'm going to get to in a couple minutes, you have an insert that are just some of the abilities to volunteer and to serve through the ministries of the church here. And there's brief description on the back of doing that here. But as you know, not all giftings and callings are limited to being served in the church. And so Dana Hope is going to come now, and he is going to share a calling of God on his heart and on his life of what he is going to be doing outside of the walls of this church and inviting us to participate in that. So Dana, please come.
I'm going to take part in Kairos Walk, number 15 at London Correctional Prison in London, Ohio. Many of you know what Kairos is. A lot of you don't know what Kairos is. It's a prison ministry. What is it? It's a retreat, a Christian retreat. Since the inmates can't leave, and oh, by the way, we don't call them inmates or prisoners, we call them residents. Since the residents can't leave, we go to them. We are planning on having 36 residents, and there'll be probably a few more on the team, Kairos team, working with them. It'll be the first weekend in November, Thursday through Sunday, and basically we're living with them those days. Now they're going to go back to their cells at night to sleep. I have the opportunity to either go to a nearby church to sleep, or I'll probably go home and be with Jill. But the rest of the time we are with them, and we are in the presence of a Christian retreat. When you hear Kairos, those that know Kairos, they think of cookies. Well, let me first step back. I'm going to ask you to help me. I'm going to be inside the walls of the prison working with the other team members, but I'm going to ask all of you, if you're so moved, to help me. First of all, I'll thank you for the first way that you've helped me. You've already donated $400 from the missions group, and what that does is it pays for me, it pays for the resident that I'm sponsoring, and it also pays for another team member and resident. So that's very helpful. And as Jim said, one way we do give is we tithe. and that's useful, but that's not the only way. When those that you know Kairos, when you hear Kairos, what do you think of?
Cookies!
Cookies! All right! We give love to the residents, and one way is through cookies. And I will be asking you, I need to come up with 100 dozen cookies. And these are given out to the inmates. That's part of God's love. Women know that a way to a man's heart's through his stomach. Well, Jesus uses the same technique. I'm not sure if God learned something from Eve, or maybe Eve learned something from God. There's something going on there. Another way of participating is I'm going to ask kids to color placemats. Many of the residents have lost their families. This might be as close to their families as they can get. Excuse me for being emotional. I'm last 10 years or so, I've become more of an emotional guy. That's the way I am, so get used to it. But anyway, I'll ask anybody, maybe the school kids would want to do that. Maybe the teens would want to do that. It's up to them what they do. Another thing is you can make posters. Maybe the book club might want to do it. You've got a church group. Maybe the Kairos Coffee Shop might consider, one of the groups that meets there might consider it. Whatever. Another way of showing your love is with the prayer chain. Now, when we think of prayer chain, we think of telephones and emails. But this is a prayer chain like I took part of at Christmas time in kindergarten, when we took red and green construction paper and made a chain to decorate the room with. These pieces of paper will be out in the foyer, and I'm going to ask that if you so wish, take one, take a dozen, whatever you move to do, and write something on it, personalize it. What do you write on this? It can be something as simple as Jesus loves you. It can be as simple as I am praying for you. Maybe you've got an actual prayer that you want to write out to the resident or to the whole team as a whole for the weekend. Perhaps you have a favorite Bible verse. You could just put the verse nomenclature down and the resident could look that up and find that in his Bible. Or you might write the verse out. Whatever moves your heart, when you sit down to do this, I ask that you pray about it. And the Lord will talk to you. Talk about how God talks to us. Jim, now how often does Jim go off on a wild goose chase and do a single sermon? I can't think of the last time you did it.
I've never done it.
But anyway, well, I'm sure you've done it before sometime. Well, a sermon, he just doesn't whip it together and present it in an hour each morning. He spends a week on it. So I'm sure hopefully you're picking me up okay, up in Maine, he's been working on this. God moved me. He spoke to me also. He said, Dana, this would be a really good week for you to present this at church. I talked to Jim last night at 6 o'clock. Is that coincidence? I don't think so. Likewise, the inmates have things on their hearts. We all have things on our hearts. God knows what that is. A resident will read one of these, and it will be what that resident needs to read. And God knows what that is. God will speak to them. So whatever Lord puts on your heart, go ahead and put it down. This box will be out in the foyer. You can put the completed ones inside the box. All the Everything that I've talked about will be due on October 21st, so if you could bring it to church. Let me go back to the cookies a little bit. We put a dozen cookies in the bag. They're homemade, so don't go out to the store and buy them. We want homemade cookies. We want the love of the baker in this bag. There are special rules on it, on what ingredients can go in the cookies, what size they are. So if you're interested in helping with that, come and talk to me, and I can get you started on that, in that direction. Now I'm doing kind of a think. I don't mean to be, but if you've got questions, anything about this, I'll be in the foyer after the service, and you can ask me. I'll be here next Sunday, and feel free to ask anything that you have, any questions on your mind. Then I'm going to be gone 2 weeks. That's why I'm kind of a think. And then the week after that will be October 21st when everything's due back here. If you do have questions when I'm not here, you can ask Steve Levesque. He's a good man. He'll get you fixed up. Let me just, in concluding here, these are the cookie bags. Let me read this for you. Now, first of all, this bag, one dozen cookies will be given to each inmate. It's well over 1,000. I think it's 1,300 maybe. Each inmate will get this one message. Only 36 of them will go on the walk this weekend. The bag says, "Taste and see the Lord is good. How blessed is the person who trusts in him." Psalms 34, verse 8. "Jesus loves you!" Exclamation point. No matter what you've done or where you've been, he won't stop loving you. These cookies, in one small way, represent his love for you. You can discover a closer relationship with Jesus and with those who worship him. Come to the Kairos Prayer and Share every Tuesday, 2:30 in the chapel. You don't need a pass for this. So in other words, this is Kairos number 15. There's been 14 before this. This graduating class of Kairos residents will join, and they meet each week to reinforce their relationship with Christ. I'd like to thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you, Dana. So you can see, Dana, like many of you, works a full-time job in the community, and through the moving of God in his heart, has been led into this ministry to go into London Correctional Center and to bring the love of Jesus Christ there. That is a living testimony of what we're talking about here. When church started this morning, we handed Danny Maines a check for the Alzheimer's Association. As we know, Danny lost his mother to the disease, and since then, he's taken up that cause and has led the church annually and participating in that to try to find a cure and developing community within that purpose as the church has gotten behind him and supported him. And so you're seeing the dualism of how I understand this is supposed to work. That God stirs your heart. That there is something that God is doing in your heart that you're beginning to respond to. And then the church family is responsible to get behind that and support that and promote that to help facilitate the enactment of what God is asking you to do. That is the unity piece of what's going on here. And so it's local church by local church by local church, all under the lordship of Jesus Christ, with each local congregation recognizing the gifts and the abilities that God has entrusted to us, and then the leadership of the church getting behind that with the greater body to enact that and make that a living reality. And so we read these passages in Matthew 25 that deal with standing before Jesus and saying, I was hungry and I was thirsty and I was naked and I was imprisoned and all of these things. It doesn't necessarily mean that you as an individual are supposed to run around and do all of those things. It's about listening to the Spirit of God in your heart and participating in the church doing all of those things. And so you may be gifted to bake, as Dana pointed out. All of us have the ability to pray. All of us can do that. Our children can make table settings or posters. We can give our tithes and our resources for the Alzheimer's Association. Not everybody can walk. Not everybody has a Saturday morning to go do that. How can we get behind what God is asking you to do? But you're seeing how it's a mutual responsibility. The responsibility of each of us is to recognize that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And citizenship means functional responsibility, that we are stewards, servants of the king. When Paul begins a lot of his letters, he calls himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. It's tapping into this metaphor, this reality, that you and I don't own anything. We have a cliche, you can't take it with you, but we don't live like that because we hoard as much as we can get while we're here and act as though we're going to take it with us. The reality is that we are entrusted with life, gifts, abilities, resources, relationships, and as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts to contribute to the greater good that God is doing in the world. He is the Creator God. This is His world, and we are stewards of that reality. And so we are working together as the body of Christ in this church to support one another in accomplishing what God is asking each of us to do. And so we can get fixated on the gifts that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 and limit the gifting of God to an example or an illustration. The gifting of God is much bigger than that. Much, much bigger than that. Baking and poetry and music and art and sports and all of the things that we are able to do are giftings entrusted to us to be used for the glory of God. So there's prison ministries of basketball and weightlifting and music and all these other ways of getting in to the prisons to share the love of Jesus Christ. And God has chosen each of us as a way to get into your place of employment to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not a job for you. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit through you. And so when you get up and get ready to go to work each morning, you are a missionary. You are a pastor. You are an evangelist. That is the gift set that God has given you to go to that place of employment, to be a servant of the Most High God, to live His love in that relational community that we call work. And then it replicates itself on the sideline of athletic events or 4-H events or whatever it is. It is this gifting of God where we each contribute to the moving of the Spirit of God in the lives of people to bring love and healing and hope and health and all of these unique aspects. Church is a place where we come together to get refueled, to think, to pray, to be stirred, to be sensitive. You should every Sunday have a meaningful word from Scripture. You should at some level be challenged in your life of an invitation to listen to the Holy Spirit to respond to that in your marriage, in your home, at your work, in community. Every week, the Spirit of God is moving. And it is us that are called to respond to that as the stewards of life entrusted to us for the glory of God. You never retire from serving Jesus Christ. Never. Those that are in the nursing home have a unique ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And us at work, and us at home, and on it goes. And so I invite you this morning to just give pause. What gift has God entrusted to you? What talent has God given you? How are you maturing and developing that in the enacting of God's love through the use of that gift and ability? And so I've given you an opportunity. The church is a safe place to experiment, to say, you know what, I want to try teaching Sunday school. Or I don't know anything, I have no green thumb, but the prayer garden ministry sounds kind of unique. I'm going to give that a try. The church is a safe place to step in and to try and to step out and to say, that's just not me. Every year we do this, for those of you who are new. Every year this is in the bulletin, and every year I throw it away and start fresh. So last year, if you signed up to be on something and you don't check it this year, you won't get called. We don't harass, pursue, beg, twist arms, break thumbs. We don't do that. We trust the Holy Spirit. And that if there's a sustained ministry year in and year out, that you'll check the box year in and year out. And if you tried it and it's not a gift set for you, you won't get called this year. Don't worry about it. Don't check it. So these are opportunities for you to explore, to discern within the four walls of this building, Lord, what would you have me do? And from that, I hope that the pump is primed in your heart to begin to see yourself as a gifted person by the Holy Spirit to enact that gift set, whether it's in the church or outside of the church, as a minister, as an ambassador, as a citizen and a steward in the kingdom of God. We're fellow heirs, you guys, children of the King. And so we are called to live for his glory, whatever the gift set. May we honor the King, working together. Amen. Dana has one more qualifying statement that he forgot to make. Dana.
Thank you. A couple things. The whether it's a prayer chain or the any material that's presented, it should be positive, it should express love, it should be encouraging for the residents. If you are so inclined, go ahead and put your name on it, sign it. First name only, do not put your last name. But many of these men that are there, they've been shunned from society. Nobody cares for them. And for all these strangers to be praying for them and to show love to them is a very powerful message. Thank you.
Dana, if you wouldn't mind coming right front and center, and let's just all surround and pray over him as he gets ready for this ministry, right down in the middle of the aisle. Keep going. Just come on in and we'll pray over him. Please gather in. Let's pray together. Our God, we lay hands on Dana and we lay hands on one another. We each are filled with your Spirit, and we each are responsible to enact your love uniquely with the gift set in the relationships that you've blessed us with. And so as we pray over Dana, we pray over one another that we would welcome, cooperate, and enact your will through the lives you've blessed us with. In Jesus' name, may your kingdom come. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You are dismissed.